fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Lair Adams for the American Adversaries at Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. And boy, have I been making a huge mistake. I've been telling everyone, do not sign up for Oh Problem Care. Don't even go on the website. Oh, I was so wrong. Folks, remember during the last election, when Democrats shut down Republican sites by jumping on them? This government site is already drastically overloaded. What would happen if you went on it for a few minutes, bailed, a few minutes later, just start the process all over again? Just don't sign up. Just log on. Oh, that is so mean! Now, when progressives do it, it's downright godlike. When conservatives do it, it's evil, rotten, childish, disgusting, anti-American, racist, homophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-a clean planet, bad breath, bad BO, and when they pass gas, it's the Ebola virus. Folks, America's Armageddon is coming. Unless you do something, it will happen so quickly and painlessly, you won't even know it's happened. My co-host has his finger on the timetable. Here's the clock man himself, Christopher Hart.
That's right, folks. You don't want to be a frog being boiled in water. Okay, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. We are live. 407-774-8255 is our number. Welcome to the show. Lair Adams and Christopher Hart with you right now. Nostradamus is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. And then for this last segment of the show, we're going to have another visit with Colonel Danny McKnight as he gives us the latest on his journey as he works his way towards Dallas this weekend, where there will be a 20-year reunion of the Rangers, many of the Rangers and their families, if they were fallen Rangers, at Ross Perot's Ranch for a great reunion this weekend for the 20-year.
Be honest, Chris, I didn't realize Ross Perot was still alive. The guy's got to be 140.
Oh, come on now. Come on now, Lair. You know I'm still alive.
Okay. Now, he's the only man in the world that could maybe beat Barack Obama for big ears. I mean, there's two of those guys. That's one thing they really have in common.
They certainly do that. That's for sure. And that's about it, though, I'm afraid.
Yep.
Okay, folks. Once again, I want to welcome you to the show. Before we get rolling here, we're going to be talking about this government showdown up in D.C. But I also want to remind you once again that we're pushing real hard for these couple of weeks here to help us feed the children. And you've heard what it's all about. Feed the Children is a great organization. You can find out more about them at feedthechildren.org. But they feed families and children, you know, in our local community. They're in and out of our community all the time, folks. So, you know, it's great to help people out elsewhere if they need it. But it's also, my opinion, even better to help somebody out right here at home if they need it. So please help us out to help out Feed the Children. You can go to 660WORL.com or give them a call at 866-326-6669, 866-326-6669, or 660WORL.com. And the best part of it is, that every dollar that you give is turned into five.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chris threw that at me, folks. I was like a deer in the headlights.
I was giving Larry the hand signal here, and he's going, what?
Oh, he has to give me the five. You're right, folks. It's tripled. I'm quadruple. I'm saying tripled. It's even quintuple. It's getting bigger. It's a billion. No, five times what you invest. That's what it becomes. It's like magic, and it's a neat thing. It's a wonderful cause.
It is sort of a way to invest your donation. That's an excellent way to put it. And speaking of investments and things like that, there's a whole bunch of investment going on
not in the stock market.
No, in the maneuvering in Washington, D.C., and I want to talk about it a little bit, but I also want to tease it. When we come back in the next break, you know, part of the problem is just been getting Obama to sit down at the table to negotiate, right?
He doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't. Exactly. He doesn't do any of that. By the way, Nostradamus is going to give us an update on the latest that's been going on this afternoon when he joins us, including a 5:30 meeting at the White House. But we'll talk about that when we get with him. But, you know, I have a solution on how to get Barack Obama not only to the bargaining table, but to get him clamoring to make a deal. Okay? But you're going to have to listen for the second segment of the show tonight to hear what that's all about.
Is that called a tease?
It is.
Okay.
I'll throw this in, too, as a bit of a hint. I got the idea the other night at Walgreens. Okay. Anyway, right now.
It doesn't have anything to do with drugs, I hope.
No.
Okay.
Walgreens drugs. There's a lot of seasonal things sold at Walgreens. Yeah. Okay. So we'll be talking about that later. But right now, I do want to talk about what's going on in Washington, D.C. You know, once again, the conventional wisdom is, the Republicans are getting whipped and this and that and the other thing.
Especially our predecessor, Michael Medved. It's getting kind of tough to listen to the guy. We like him, but ooh.
You know, for one thing, I wish he would offer up. Now, he kind of offers up solutions, but, you know, he's more just trashing the Republicans, and I don't think it's necessary. Actually, I think the Republicans, and Larry, you are a grappler, are actually in a position, if they don't already have Obama in a good hold, they can get him in a good hold. And it started kind of over the last couple of days, and just follow me for a second.
First of all,
The longer it goes, the more Obama and the Democrats have to lose, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even Medved's been saying, Congress's approval rating, and when they say Congress, they mean Republicans, basically, has fallen to 87% disapprove. Fallen from where? 85 or 86 disapprove? 86.5 to 87? They don't have anywhere to fall. That's the whole point. They can't go down any further. The president has a long way to fall. And the Democrats, not as long as him, but they have a long way to fall, too, much further than Republicans. So they have much more at stake.
Chris, that is just as ridiculous as I heard today. Look at all the people that have lost their jobs right now, you know, with the shutdown. Look at people that are not drawing paychecks. These people are going to blame Republicans. I'm thinking, okay, 100% of those people support Obama.
Yes, who
cares?
How
is that going to affect Republicans?
Exactly.
That they're not going to vote for them because they did.
Exactly my point.
And that's my problem with Medved. So many of the people that he's worried about, you know, who's going to vote.
Already hate him.
That's right.
They already hate him. And that's
because he doesn't have any guts, Chris. He's a smart man. But sometimes you've got to go beyond your smartness or whatever and say, I got some whatevers that says, I'm going to do this no matter what.
He's simply looking at it from the point of view of what can practically be done in terms of policy right now. We're looking at this in a much broader view, and I think there's a paragraph in the Wall Street Journal I'll read in here in a few minutes that kind of sums it all up, because this is more about power struggle than it is anything else. And anybody that denies that is just blind to what's going on here. But the power struggle has more to do with setting up as much setting up the next fight as what's going on right now. And let me just...
These are previews.
And we have to look at this when you go into this as a cost-benefit type thing. Or in other words, a profit-risk may be perhaps the better way to look at it. If you listen to savvy investors, they will say, okay, when you look at a stock to buy or a bond or some sort of asset to buy, one of the best ways to evaluate whether you should buy it or not is what would be called the profits to risk margin or ratio. In other words, what's the likelihood that you'll lose your money as opposed to what's the likelihood that you'll do good? Okay, the cost risk for the Republicans is a skewed way in the favor of making a big profit out of this. For the president, it's the other way around. He can only lose out of all this if the Republicans stick to it and do what they did today and yesterday, and that is pass these smaller, single, itemized appropriation bills and throw it over there to the Senate and let Harry Reid go like he did today and say, why should he be worried about, in the case today, kids who have cancer?
Yeah, there was X number of kids that, you know, that wouldn't get there or whatever, and the reporter asked him, well, what if one child could be saved by getting this worked out and the program right. Back to, well, I get worried about that. I've got 1,100 people
exactly.
Over here that aren't getting their paycheck.
Exactly.
I got to worry
exactly.
About them.
And the Republicans could be putting that heat on him every day. And every time one of these clowns, be it Reid, Pelosi, or Obama, parades out some poor old victim, the Republicans should rush right then to the House of Representatives, pass one of these itemized bills that addresses that particular problem, and then make a grand, glorious entry into delivering it to the Senate and saying, you know that victim you just were talking about? Here's a solution, and make them have to deny it again and go out and explain it again.
And here's the wacky thing.
This is the solution to turning the tide of the conversation.
And they've got to get their message out. Now, here's an interesting fact most people don't know. When it comes to every government shutdown, there's been, I think, 17 of them. Every one of them. After that government shutdown, what happened to the stock market?
Recovered handsomely, thank you.
Increased wonderfully. And folks, right. If they get the message out there and let the country realize, look, there are so many other factors here, and we're doing the right thing. And nobody wants Obamacare. Well, okay, 20% of people want Obamacare.
In the short term, if the Republicans give in, this will in essence, favor the Democrats and Obama. They will felt like they have succeeded. The press will be patting them on the back. I guarantee you, the longer this goes, the more it's going to be a risk for the president, the more he is going to find himself on the other side of the eight ball, so to speak, or the cue ball, however you want to say it. In other words, he's going to find, you know, things being shot at him.
Well, and this
because, in essence, he, nonetheless, in the end of the day, is the president of the United States, and sooner or later, if the Republicans can stick, somebody's going to ask him, Mr. President, when are you going to be the president of the United States? Aren't you responsible to at least get over there and get your hands dirty and work this out with the mean old rascals that we call Republicans? And let me just tell you, there's another couple of lessons here to be learned, too. And these, I don't think that Obama wants to be learned. First of all, the lesson of there's a whole lot more out there in the way of government and government workers than we need. Okay, we don't need a lot of these people, and we're going to find that out the longer we go. Yeah, there's going to be some inconveniences and some bad things here and there, but for the astute observer, there's going to be a lot that they'll be able to see that is extraneous, that is superfluous, that is redundant, that we do not need. Second, there's a whole young generation that, combined with this and the sour economy, is beginning to understand that, no, government cannot do everything in their lives, and that is one hell of a good lesson for them to learn.
And, Chris, the thing that bugs me about Medved and Bill O'Reilly both is they keep saying, let this thing go, let it work its way out, and then we'll stop it later. No, sir, once started, never stopped.
Right.
That's the problem.
All right, but we have to stop for a break. But when we come back, we invite you to join us, and we're going to continue this conversation. And my grand solution to get Barack Obama to the bargaining table. We'll be right back.
Yo, it's me. It's me. It's DDP.
Yo, it's me. DDP. Diamond Dallas Page. The king of automatics. The master of the diamond cutter. The three-time world champion. And you're listening to the American Adversary Drive Time. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Okay, welcome back, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries, and we are live. 407-774-8255 is the number. I want to thank you for being with us once again tonight. And we are talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C. And the way I see it, the Republicans have just as every bit as much leverage against the president and the Democrats as they have against the Republicans, if not more, because they have a whole lot less to lose and a whole lot more to gain via all of this. And really, at the end of the day, what's to be gained is going to come next fall in the elections. And this, I believe, all of this is helping to set that up. If there is a strategy that the Republicans have, perhaps part of that strategy is let's do everything that we can to demonstrate to the American public that this monstrosity, this albatross of Obamacare, that we tried to at least get some relief for it, if not get it overturned entirely. And let me just read from today's Wall Street Journal. This is their editorial view. Now this the editorial board of the Journal has taken the same approach, the same opinion as Michael Medved. Okay, so I'll read two paragraphs. I'll read one going into it. The one going into it will give you a feel for what they've felt. It's true that none of these measures, talking about everything that Congress could do in terms of, you know, alternatives to just defunding Obamacare. It's true that none of these measures would defund Obamacare, but then the biggest lie of this shutdown drama is that a minority of the Republican caucus in one branch of Congress can repeal Obamacare as long as Mr. Obama is in the Oval Office. And it'd be pretty hard to argue with that, I'd have to say. Now let me read their final paragraph here, though, where I think the crux of this whole thing is. We support the Republican effort to get the best deal they can, and especially in the face of Mr. Obama's cynicism. But sooner or later, the GOP will have to fund the government and raise the debt ceiling that expires 2 weeks from now. Republicans will have made their point about fighting hard on principle while noting that to achieve more on Obamacare, they'll need more Senate Republicans after 2014 and a GOP president after 2016. Unlike much of what you hear these days out of Washington, this has the added advantage of being true. And you see, there's the crux of it. What was one of the main things President Obama, arguments that he used to get himself elected? That he was going to be different business in Washington, right? It wasn't going to be business as usual.
Yeah, but how many have used that argument?
But he was going to be the most bipartisan and all this and that and the other thing. This demonstrates that none of that is going to work. Okay?
Yeah.
That if anybody wants government to do anything, in particular, in any way different than what it has done, it's going to take a new crowd of people in Washington, D.C. to do it. Now, one of the other things that Michael Medved and others have been saying is, why haven't the Republicans been putting pressure on these red state Democrats like Landrieu from Louisiana and Hagan or whatever her name is from North Carolina? Well, now they have the table set to do exactly that. They can go into the election next year and say, yeah, you see where Mary Landrieu didn't even want to have the kids that had cancer have treatment? Did you see with that? Did you see where she voted to make sure you got Obamacare? Did you see that when we were putting our entire reputation, our entire stake on the line, she turned us down at every opportunity to protect you from what you now see is a huge problem? It's going to be a powerful argument going into next year's election. And that's part of what this is all about going on here. Now, in terms of my solution, how to get Barack Obama to the bargaining table, not only to the bargaining table, but just falling all over himself to make a deal. I got the idea when I was in Walgreens the other day. You know, they put out the...
Hey, it doesn't have anything to do with condoms, I hope, here, Chris. Please.
It's a word that starts with C-O.
Oh, boy.
Costumes.
Okay.
Okay, I was getting a birthday card, and they had some beards there, all right? I guess one of the hot costumes this year is going to be to go as a Duck Dynasty guy.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
Put on a bunch of camouflage clothes, some hiking boots or something, and then get you one of these beards, you know, like Santa Claus beards.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there thinking, wow, if only the Republicans could get with this company that made these beards and have them make up some Hassan Rouhani beards. You know, the new president of Iran? Okay.
You get shot for that, and it'd be okay.
No. Get a couple of dozen of them and put them on members of the House, you know, the Tea Party guys, right?
Uh-huh.
And then go down to a costume company where they make masks and have them make up some Bashar al-Assad masks and some old Vladi Putin masks and put them on a few dozen congressmen and parade them all over there to the White House, and that goddang SOB will come falling all over himself to get out there and deal with those people because they're more reasonable than Republicans. Right?
He'll fall all over himself to deal with murderers. But he will not give the time of day to his fellow citizens, which is, whether he knows it or not, who those Republicans in Congress are.
Well, what makes it worse is these are the people that will call people that just disagree with them murderers.
Yeah.
And racist.
And terrorists.
Oh, you want those people to die.
Yeah.
Oh, you want those people to stay held down.
Harry Reid and Pelosi calling them terrorists? Go down and get you some Osama bin Laden beards and then run over there to the White House.
Extortionist.
Yes, here I am, Mr. President. I'm Hassan Rouhani. Come on out here. Let's deal. Yeah, that's how absurd this president is.
The people who sold guns down there in Mexico to try to get them. Fast and Furious. Right. Oh, no, that's not bad.
Yeah, but you get the idea, don't you?
Sure. In other words, if the Republicans were
Just identify with the enemy and you'll be fine with this administration.
That's right. Exactly.
Kind of makes it like this is the
exactly.
enemy?
You know, yeah, get you some Qurans and pray down there like you're members of the Muslim Brotherhood. They'll open the doors of the White House wide open.
Oh, but don't you dare come in as a Christian.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, when we come back, Nostradamus is going to give us the latest on what is actually going on at the White House. Supposedly, there was going to be a meeting at 5:30 where Barack Obama was not going to negotiate. Obviously, he probably just intends to do what he always does, and that is lecture people. But he's also going to tell us about 14 members of the House Republicans who are already ready to tap out. Oh, they just can't take the heat in the kitchen. Well, if that's the case, we're going to find out where they are.
Vote them out.
Exactly.
Vote them out.
Exactly. Send them out on their butts. One of the great things that these Tea Party guys are doing is they're rattling Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. don't like it. I love it.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. Roxy Pacifics is an all-natural kelp and vitamin-based antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. It is totally safe for kids, pets, and yourself. Do yourself a favor, RoxyPacifics.net. Now here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
Okay, let's go now to Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com. Ted, the Blaze yesterday broke a story that a congressman and a group of veterans had to break into the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Soundbite has the full story, right?
That's right, Chris. Again, something wonderful from our administration. Both the White House and the Department of the Interior rejected a request from Representative Palazzo. Now, he's the Republican representative from Mississippi, for the veterans to visit the World War II Memorial. So, Representative Palazzo actually helped the veterans commit an act of civil disobedience, and they stormed through barricades around the monument.
Dare should ask, was anyone arrested?
No arrest, but they got a lot of pushback, and the representative's office was told and denied several times for this request and said, what do you expect as a government shutdown?
And really, there would have been no effort to allow these veterans to enter the memorial, would it have been?
Well, no. And the thing is that a lot of these veterans, of course, are elderly. They're frail. They've paid upwards of $80,000 to come and participate and visit the World War II Memorial. And to just blatantly deny them access is obviously got some sort of political scheming behind it. This wasn't just something, an accident, that they decided to focus on this and deny them the request.
It's sort of like the White House wants to make the pain from the shutdown as great as possible.
Absolutely, and try to make everyone suffer, and they prioritize, or don't prioritize at all. That's really the issue.
Okay. All right, folks, you can get the full story at soundbiterx.com. So please take the cure for ignorance. Go to soundbiterx.com. Good night, Ted. We'll be right back.
Down with the pain and anger, can't see a way out.
That's right. Listen, all you people, come gather around to the American Adversaries Drive Time. Pull right up to that radio and crank it up and listen to us for the next half hour. I am Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, that was a little Queen tune, I Want It All Now, and our executive producer, Nostradamus, suggests that that be the anthem for the Democratic Party. Welcome to the show, Nostradamus. How are things over to headquarters?
Oh, it's good. And isn't that an appropriate song? Because these Democrats, they want what they want. They want us to just shut up, go away, hey, vote for this darn thing, and go back to work.
They want it all now. I want it all now. I want it all, and I want it now. That sounds about right. That sounds about like President Obama.
No, it's worse than that. It's if you don't give me what I want, I'm just going to stand here and call you the worst, most disgusting names in the book. It is that childish.
And in the process, make a lot of people hurt. Real quickly, Dennis, what's the latest on the meeting at the White House? Is it actually coming off? It's supposed to have started a few minutes ago, I think.
Yeah, it's supposed to have started at 5:30, and it was supposed to include President Obama, House Speaker Boehner, House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi, Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid, and Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell. McConnell's spokesperson, Don Stewart, said, "We're a little confused as to the purpose of this meeting, because Obama said yesterday, am I exasperated? Absolutely I'm exasperated, and said he didn't think he needed to talk with the Republican leadership about anything. He was not of the opinion that he needed to back down or back off on aspect of the continuing resolution."
Right. Well, Dennis, that was a red line.
Yeah,
we know what he does with red lines.
Yeah.
He didn't draw that red line. Someone else must have drawn that red line.
I guess they forgot to pour out that bottle of disappearing ink, invisible ink. But this is what I'm talking about. In my opinion, and of course that's very limited in scope, but I think that the Republicans are the ones who stand to gain a lot here and have fairly little to lose. It's the Democrats who have a lot to lose, basically control of government, and they have very little to gain. So I say keep the pressure on, keep it on hard and hot. Go over there and sit down and then come out and say, yeah, well, all he did was lecture to us. He told us just like he told you, he isn't going to negotiate, unless he actually does. Maybe if they put on the beards, like I say, he'll actually do that. Can you imagine Mitch McConnell with a Hassan Rouhani beard?
Yeah, and guys, let me ask you this.
And one of those little hats.
Yeah, let me ask this, Dennis. When it comes to politics, what's wrong with setting traps for your prey?
That's right. Hey, the Democrats are very good at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, I agree with you, because the Republican leadership should be used by now to being blamed for everything. So this is an issue where polls say most Americans are more than willing to blame both parties equally. The Republicans a little more than the Democrats, but really not much.
You see, and in the long run, the longer this goes, the more that's going to hurt the Democrats and the president. And the more and more they're going to be looked at desperately by their sycophantic followers in the media and elsewhere, like, can't you do anything? That's what you're going to get from them. And so the longer the Republicans can hold their feet to the fire, the better. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I got an interesting story about the shutdown. Among the places that are experiencing the shutdown is NASA. And a friend of mine, his wife, works for NASA and works in budgets. So, of course, she has no work to do right now. But she was asked to go in on Tuesday morning to do something at no pay. They said they'd make it up to her later. It was her job to go in and set everyone's computer and everyone's phone to out-of-office message. And that took her half the day to do.
Yeah. Like I said, there's a couple of little secrets here that the Democrats don't want to get out either. And one is we have a far too bloated government. We could do away with half of it and be just fine. And the other one is that the government is not going to be the end-all solution to make people's lives any better. And so the more we can get it out of the way, the better off we will be. And there's a lot of people around speculating President Obama wanted the government shut down. I would say yes, if it only lasts a couple of days, he wanted it bad. But the longer it goes on, the less he's going to find that he wants it. It's going to become heavier and heavier for him to carry that. And he doesn't like to carry anything. So the heavier it gets, the more he's going to be made uncomfortable, and I'm all for that. But I guess there's 14 or so Republicans in Congress who are too uncomfortable now, and they're ready to bail, huh, Dennis?
That's right. Democratic leadership says it's got all 200 members of its side in the House to vote for a clean CR, meaning one that includes full funding for Obamacare. 14 Republicans have said, yeah, I'll go along with that, too. Now, virtually all of them are from the Northeast, New York, New Jersey, Virginia, Pennsylvania. There's one fellow from Minnesota and one from California who are in favor of it. No one in the Southeast, no one in our state, of course, has swung over to the other side yet.
And, of course, it would be up to John Boehner to actually allow it to be brought to a floor for the vote. So they can have all the votes they want. As long as he sticks tough, it'll be very difficult for them to exercise that vote. And I think that they should do what I said, and others have said this before me, and even Medved, to some extent, sees the value in it, and that is keep continuing every day. Pass two or three or four of these itemized continuing resolutions that zeroes in on Veterans Affairs, parks, the National Institute of Health, which affects
the
kids.
Let the Senate blow them off.
Exactly. Make them blow it off continuously. And eventually they'll have to answer
Look
for
what
it.
Happened to Harry Reid.
Today. All anybody has to
Trapped
do.
Trapped him.
And it didn't take much of a question to do it either,
no.
did it?
And it was a liberal.
Right.
A liberal that asked him.
And he's supposed to be a smart man. So all the Republicans have to do is keep the pressure on. And all they have to do that is stay in the fight. What is so hard about that? Nostradamus?
Yeah, you know, we can actually also blame President Obama specifically for closing that World War II memorial. Carol Johnson with the Park Service says that she was told to close the site on the 1st by the White House's Office of Management and Budget. And they're calling the barricades they put up in front of the memorial, barricades. Get it? Barricades?
I noticed that. You know, you were ready to run with this story yesterday, Dennis, and I'm sorry I ran out the clock on you, but I noticed they had to actually put up barricades to keep people out. I mean, this is like a plaza where you can come and go as you will. I mean, they had to go out of their way to close the World War II Memorial. And Dennis, please, we didn't get to this in the Soundbite RX News Minute, although it's in the SoundbiteRXNewsMinute.com story. Please tell us who the veterans were that were trying to get in.
Yeah, of course, these were a bunch, in fact, ironically, from Illinois, as well as from all around the country, part of the Honor Flight program, which pays for veterans to visit our nation's capital.
Great friends of ours.
That's one of our station's great causes.
And great friends of ours. We've had them on the show several times. As a matter of fact, we're going to have somebody from Honor Flights on our show again here probably next week, because the next Honor Flight going out of Sanford Airport up here is, I believe, October 19th, isn't it, Nostradamus? Something like that.
I think that's correct, that third weekend in October. There's a great picture on the Internet of a couple of the veterans leaving the memorial with a trophy. A strip of police line do not cross tape raised above their hands.
You know, I could just see these veterans having a grand old time. Let's storm the barricades, you know, like it was Normandy or something.
What are you going to do, arrest me? Go ahead.
This is why I say the Republicans are actually in a far better position than anybody's giving them credit for, Lair.
And I think, Dennis, it was Representative Gohmert that actually moved the barricades. And did you hear what's happening today? There was another group today that went, and they were also allowed to go. Now, did you hear how the Park Service, what their rationale was for letting today's group go? Now, nobody else could go, but today's group, you know what the rationale was, Dennis?
What's that?
They were protesters. They considered them protesters. And there's a law that says if you want to protest, you have to set up for, you have to, you know, get to permits, et cetera.
Yeah.
But no, this was a spontaneous protest, so that was, so it's okay.
Go ahead, Dennis.
We should call this Occupy World War II Memorial, right? Set up tent?
Yes.
Well, so all they needed to do was make up some protest signs, and then they would let them ride in. But when we come back, I'd like to get Colonel McKnight's opinion on that escapade yesterday in Washington, D.C.
They had to be ruled protesters to see their own memorial.
It would be odd, wouldn't it? No, not in this world, I guess. Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
Back from the dressing room to re-stretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary.
Well, folks, it hurts. Sometimes those tights pull my hair. We are the American Adversaries. Lair Adams, Christopher Hart. And I hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday hump day afternoon. Right now we have one of our favorite people on the line with us. It's one of our favorite special guests, and this is Colonel Danny McKnight. And Colonel Danny McKnight, I've got to tell you folks, is on one of the most incredible road trips I could ever imagine. Colonel, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Time out. How are y'all?
We're doing just great. It's beautiful weather here. How about where you are?
Well, in all honesty, it has happened again for us, just like it did 5 years ago. We have not had anything but blue, beautiful sky.
Woo-hoo!
For our entire journey. It is, again, had God's grace on us, because that's what happens when you're doing the right thing.
And wow. I think you're on the way to El Paso, is that correct?
I'm sitting in the El Paso airport right now. We have finished our journey in terms of our six grave sites.
Colonel, but before we get to Sergeant Lorenzo Ruiz, who you visited today, his grave in El Paso, I'd like to ask you what you thought when you heard that veterans had to literally storm, if you will, the World War II memorial. And we're talking about honor flight veterans, you know, World War II veterans, Korean War veterans, some Vietnam veterans, had to basically storm the World War II memorial to get in there yesterday because of this person we have as President of the United States.
Yeah, it's fairly absurd when the people that created that memorial, it wouldn't exist without them, and it is for them to honor them, that they would have to do anything but be able to walk up there with assistance or without assistance, being in a wheelchair, to see what they've made. I mean, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. And they should never put a barricade up there. They should have people always there to welcome them is what they should have. And that's just the most ludicrous thing in them. I can't even imagine.
That's what gets me is they actually had to block it off.
It's a sidewalk.
It wasn't like it was a gate that they open every morning.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a sidewalk that's open. It's not going into a building. Everyone should be able to walk past this.
All right. Before we move
exactly
on.
Right.
Before we move on, along with Louis Gohmert from Texas, Michelle Bachman, and Steve King from Iowa, Minnesota and Iowa, helped to get the veterans in. But I want to go to something, if you will, more pressing, and that is your visit today to visit Sergeant Lorenzo Ruiz. Please tell us what it was like at the cemetery and something about the sergeant himself.
Well, Chris, this was number six. This was.
I know.
Last one.
Yeah.
Last one.
Yeah, it's.
And we're here at Fort Bliss in El Paso, and 20 years ago, this is where we were training when we were alerted and sent to Fort Bragg to train up for the mission that later ended up being known as Black Hawk Down. So. In a way, we really wanted to make it this way this year and end up here. And we did. And we got off the plane, and there were two, a master sergeant and a sergeant major waiting on us to take us to the cemetery. One of them both was a former 3rd Ranger Battalion soldier who was later assigned to B Company of 3rd Ranger Battalion, and he's now a sergeant major. And then the other one is in the Sergeant Major's Academy and will be a Sergeant Major next. So it's pretty special when you end up the journey and you've got Rangers waiting on you to take you there. And so that's how we started today and when we got here. And we went out to the National Cemetery there and spent our time visiting Sergeant Ruiz. And this is his home. This is where his family was out here. And I know his sister is going to be at the reunion this weekend, so I'll get to see her there.
Great.
Sergeant Ruiz and I had a very special moment. It seems like every one of them I had something with. Sergeant Ruiz and I, on October that weekend, we went out on Sunday the 3rd, as you have said previously, and finished on October the 4th. Well, on October the 2nd, it was a Saturday night for us. And we were watching by satellite a baseball game. It was the World Series between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Toronto Blue Jays. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, there were two people sitting there watching that baseball game that night. And it was me and Sergeant Lorenzo Ruiz.
And then,
that's always sort of special to me because I got to do something with him at the end of his life that nobody else got to do. And
it's like God,
unfortunately, yes, the next day he died.
It's like God gave you two that moment together.
Yeah.
Yeah, Colonel, can I ask you a quick question? You mentioned the training that you guys left for. How long was that training period before you actually went there?
We were out here at Fort Bliss as part of an exercise when we got alerted. We arrived at Fort Bragg on August the 12th. We trained until August the 22nd, and we're ready to go. We were supposed to deploy on the 25th of August, and we actually, this is one of those things people don't know unless they probably read my book, on August the 22nd, though, the mission to Somalia was canceled, and we returned to Fort Bliss, and they said some things had changed. Well, that was an administration issue, and like I said, it's in my book very clearly what changed. Not a whole lot of anything but politics. Anyway, then we were at Fort Bliss again for 10 hours when the mission was put back on, and then we went back to Fort Bragg, and then about 30 hours after that, on the 26th of August, we deployed to Somalia. So we had about 10 really great days of training. We were ready to execute the mission without question.
And by the way, folks, and a lot of people may not realize this because of the Black Hawk down and all of that, but your mission that day was successful. You guys got in there, you captured the prisoners, and you delivered the prisoners back to base. It was a mission accomplished. It had many more complications than normal.
Yes, that's exactly right. The first mission was to do what we did.
Yeah.
We ended up with a second and a third mission, and that was to try and capture take care of our guys that were in the first helicopter that went down, which we did. Not one of them were taken prisoner. Two of them died, the pilot and the co-pilot, first aircraft, but we got all the rest out. One Sergeant Dan Bush did die because he suffered wounds there. The other aircraft, as you know, we just couldn't get to it. So, yeah, we accomplished that first mission, but the other two, trying to get those guys all out alive, we couldn't quite get that done.
By the way, folks, you can get a copy of Streets of Mogadishu, the book that Danny wrote, at Danny McKnight, that's McKnight with a K, .com. Streets of Mogadishu at DannyMcKnight.com, and he'll autograph it for you. Danny, I want to go to Nostradamus because I know he has a comment or question for you. Nostradamus.
Yeah, Danny, with the government shutdown, did that affect at all any of the sites you went to visit along the road?
Nothing. Nothing affected anything that we did. We went to this national cemetery here, which is a government piece of ground. We went to Arlington, obviously. We were at Fort Benning. But the other two that we visited, grave sites, were at civilian cemeteries. So we didn't run into anything that would have given a problem, and I'm glad I didn't because I would really hate to have to deal with that. Because y'all probably have to come get me out of jail.
Right. Well, you and Linda, I know, are looking forward to capping off this trip with the barbecue out at Ross Perot's Ranch. And I want to ask you a favor on our behalf. You might think I'm joking, but I'm not. And you make sure you get Ross Perot's address and his T-shirt size, because we want to send him an American Adversaries T-shirt.
And his publicist number so we can get him on the show. No. In all due respect to the man, yeah, we would like to send him a T-shirt.
I'll be able to take care of that, I promise.
All right. Colonel McKnight, you told us about Corporal James Cavaco, how he was the quiet pro. Sergeant Dominic Pila, he enjoyed life. Sergeant Casey Joyce, he was a natural leader. PFC Richard Kowalewski, he was the quiet youngest of your Rangers. Corporal Jamie Smith, he was loved by everyone. And you and Sergeant Lorenzo Ruiz spent the night watching baseball together the night before. These are great American heroes, sir. Larry?
Yeah, they are. They always will be, and that's what I wrote on the Black Rock that I left at every one of them's gravesite. I had Black Rocks, I signed them, and they all said their name, for instance, Sergeant Lorenzo Ruiz, an American hero, Task Force Ranger. Rangers lead the way, and I signed them.
You know, Colonel, these men and actually people like you that are still surviving, you all are the heroes that America needs to continue to look at and to hold up as to the best of America and what we can do, because there aren't that many positive idols to have anymore, and I can't think of any guys that come anywhere near you. Sports, celebrities, nothing.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Laura. I appreciate that a lot. I just want you all to know that Lynn and I appreciate y'all's thoughts and prayers, and it's been absolutely perfect. And I know that y'all's thoughts and prayers had a lot to do with that happening just exactly like it should have.
Well, you're definitely in our thoughts and prayers and those of people in our audience, and we appreciate you so very much. And you have a safe journey as you make your way now to Dallas, and you guys have a great reunion. We'll be talking to you again before this is all over. And Colonel McKnight, God bless you, sir. You are a great American hero.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
When you come back, we'll buy you a calzone.
Yeah, we're going to hit.
All right.
We're going to hit Cafe Positano tonight, so we'll toast one to you.
And folks, we do want to. Thanks so much.
Good night, and good night to Linda too.
And folks, we do want to give a special shout out to our police and sheriff department personnel. We really appreciate you, listeners, and we're so proud of you too.
All first responders, but you know, I think you really hit the nail on the head there, Lair. This man, he is a role model.
Yeah.
Danny McKnight is an honest-to-God American hero role model. And look at the joke that we have running around the White House and Congress. And I mean both houses of it.
The scariest part of it isn't just him. It's the large group of our population, Chris, that don't realize this is what a real hero is. People that really think the fantasy world, the stars, the sports stars, everybody, those are the real people. Those are the real heroes. Those are what you look up to. Those are the ones you hold up above that you want to emulate and be like. But no, it's people like Danny McKnight and these brave soldiers.
Absolutely, absolutely. Nostradamus, thank you for being with us. We'll see you at Cafe Positano.
See you in a bit.
Okay. All right. Once again, folks, you can get Streets of Mogadishu at DannyMcKnight.com.
And you can always listen to the American Adversaries Monday through, actually Sunday through, I keep forgetting.
Sunday through Friday.
Sunday at 5 o'clock, but on Sunday night we're there for 3 hours. Right now it is drive time. Tomorrow night, at Thursday night, we'll be here at 5 o'clock.
Night, everybody.
News Talk 660 WORL. Altamont Springs, Orlando. 660 WORL.com. A division of Salem Communications. On the NASDAQ as SA.